Turn over first to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. When you get to John chapter 12, let's look. Jesus is speaking in verse 49. He says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Now turn back to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, look at verse 38. It says, Jesus is speaking, he says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Okay, now let's think about these statements. Jesus said, "I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the Father's will." He also made the statement that what I'm speaking, I'm not making this up. I'm not just speaking because I want to. I'm speaking what I hear from the Father. Now, the only way that can happen, the only way that he can know what the Father's will is, and the only way he can know what to do, and the only way that he can know what to say, is if the Father is speaking to him, correct? So now, we can take this, and we can say it like this. Jesus knew what to say, he knew where to go, he knew what to do, because he got a word from the Lord. Right? Now, how many of you have wished that you could have such a word from the Lord? Come on. Now, you, doesn't it seem kind of maybe unfair that Jesus got all these words from the Lord? What to do, where to go, what to speak? Haven't you ever wished that, you know, you could get a word from the Lord and you'd know what to do, where to go, and how to act and what to say and all that? Wouldn't that be kind of cool? And here, you know, so many people, they get so messed up because they don't get a word from the Lord. You know, the conference last weekend, there were so many different people down there. And some folks got a word from the Lord. You know, Elaine would be speaking over people that got a word from the Lord. But not everybody got a word from the Lord. And you know, there's some folks that could come away from something like that all bummed out. "I drove all the way to Chattanooga, Tennessee, just to have an experience with the Lord." "Well, what'd you get?" "Nothing." "Yeah, I tell you what. I know that preacher was supposed to call me out because God told me before I left that I would get a word." "Okay, now wait a minute. Didn't you get a word? I mean, if God told you, didn't you?" "Duh." "That preacher blew it." And I know there are stories of people that just really get upset because they drove all the way, spent all that money, and they didn't get called out. They didn't get a word from the Lord. What a waste of time. How am I supposed to know what to do if I don't get a word from the Lord? And they run from meeting to meeting, to this, to that. Well, no, they're trying to get this word from God, wanting, you know, the preacher to call them out. "Thus saith the Lord God Almighty." Ooh. And they want to be touched so they can fall down on the floor and wiggle or do something, you know, and have people look at them and all this other. Got to have a word from the Lord. You know, you better watch out what you wish for. Because the word you get from the Lord might not be exactly what you want. "Oh, if only God would speak to me. If only God would speak to me. You know, he spoke to the people in the Old Testament. Why won't he speak to me like that? Spoke to the people in the New Testament. Why won't he speak to me like that? Moses heard God. David heard God." Yeah, you want to hear God like the people in the Old Testament, huh? All right. Let me show you something. You want a word from the Lord? I'll give you a word from the Lord. Let me show. Turn back over to Isaiah. I'll give you a word.
I don't know where it's from God.
I'll give you a word.
Oh, we shouldn't speak to me like he spoke to the prophets.
Okay, fine. Here comes your word. You there, Isaiah chapter 20? Are you there?
Yes.
I don't want you to miss this.
No,
listen. No. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Everybody there, Isaiah chapter 20. Here's your word. In the year that Tartan came unto Ashdod, when Sargon the king of Assyria sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it, at the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amos, saying, Go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, Like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years, for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. Okay, hotshot, there's your word. Take your clothes off and walk naked through the city for 3 years. You want a word from the Lord, you just got one.
Oh, I wish he'd speak to me like he spoke to the prophets of old.
Yeah, you want a word just like Isaiah. Go naked, hallelujah. Have an impact on your community. Imagine the scenario in this one, please. Here comes some naked guy.
Thus saith the Lord.
He didn't even get a fig leaf. I mean, he's naked and barefoot.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord. Oh, yeah, we're going to listen to this guy. Thus saith the Lord, naked man. Thus saith the Lord. You know, I hope he wasn't like 4'2" and 350 pounds. Wouldn't that be just gross? Had to be picking his belly up and trying to carry his head. Thus saith the Lord. See, people want a word from God, and I can tell you right now, I'd be willing to, when we get to heaven, you can check me out on this one, but I'd be willing to guess that when Isaiah got that word, he was saying things like, Get thee behind me, Satan. See, when you get a word from the Lord, and you do something like that, you had better be sure it's God. Here, a few years back, there was some guy went, Oakwood is kind of a, money, uppity kind of. Okay, there was some guy took all his clothes off and started riding his bicycle through the city of Oakwood. I'm serious. He's riding through. He did. He got arrested for it. They put him in jail. He served his time, got out, did it again. I don't know if he ever tried to prophesy or not, but nevertheless, there's a word from God, a word from the Lord. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. See, that's different, Brother Martin. I don't want a word like that. Oh, I get it. You want a word on your terms. You want a word from God that fits what you want to hear. Where everything's going to be nice and everybody's going to be happy. That's the word that you want. You don't want a word that could possibly put you naked on the street. You don't want a word that could, kind of create a situation that's rather questionable. You want a word where God's going to, if you're single, you want a word where God's going to tell you, Oh, thus saith the Lord, my daughter, in 3 months thou shalt meet tall, dark, handsome, and rich. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So those are the words people want. Nobody thinks it's possible that they could get a word from the Lord that could create issues in their life. Let me tell you what. Anytime you get a word from the Lord, you can pretty well bet there's a chance it's going to cause some issues in your life. But people don't think about this. We just looked at Jesus. He said, I only do what the Father says do. I only go where the Father says go. I only speak what the Father says speak. Did he have issues? Did it create circumstances? People throw him out of church. They try to kill him and all this. Crazy stuff. I mean, get this. The man is raising people from the dead. And they want to kill him because of it. I mean, he's healing people. guys that are lame, guys that are deaf, all this. He heals these people, and folks want to kill him for it. You see, this doesn't make sense. You think they'd want to take him to their sick mother or their sick kid or their whatever. But no, they just want to kill him. In fact, in one passage, I don't remember where it is right now, but it talked about how Jesus showed up and that the power of God was there to heal them all. But only one person got healed. Now that tells me there was more than one person in that bunch that needed some healing in their body. And yet the one fella gets healed, and when he does, there are people come against him for it. So you see, when you get a word from the Lord, and you know what you're supposed to do, it's not always going to produce the best stuff in your life. It's not always going to be happy goings. Let me show you something. Turn over to Mark 5. Show you another one. Mark chapter 5. We've looked at this story so many different times, but it's one of my favorites. In Mark chapter 5, from verse 1 through 20, there's a story about how that Jesus and his disciples... Well, it says in verse 1, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." And you know the story, how this fellow was, he was chained up, he'd break chains, and he'd cut himself with the rocks, and he'd scream and yell. Everybody was afraid of this man. Everybody was afraid of this guy. Well, Jesus shows up on the scene, and this man comes running out, and Jesus says, you know, come out of him, and, you know, we are legion, we're many, and all this. You know, you've read the story before, and we've gone through that. Well, Jesus cast the devils out of this guy into a whole bunch of pigs. They run down a hill. I hope God got this on video, because I want to see it in heaven. These thousands of, you know, all these pigs, you know, herd of pigs running down into the sea. And the problem was solved. The city no longer had to worry about crazy man. I mean, this guy was naked too, read the story. So they didn't have to worry about crazy naked man anymore. The people from the city came out, they saw him, you know, in his right mind, clothed, everything's fine. So what did they do? They told Jesus, go away. Now see how dumb this stuff can be? It's no dumber than what goes on in churches today. You have somebody stand up and start to minister by the anointing and the power of God, and somebody will come along and tell them, this stuff's not for today. That's like the one lady went to a Benny Hinn meeting. She'd been had an illness. And it was incurable. It was bad. It was getting worse. And she goes to a Benny Hinn meeting and she gets healed. The church she attended told her healing's not for today. These kind of things don't happen. And so she goes with a friend to the Benny Hinn meeting and she gets healed. She goes back to her church and she demonstrates before them that she's healed. And they still tell her this stuff's not for today. I mean, can you imagine the stupidiosity of such a thing? The woman stands there healed before their very eyes and they're telling her, it's not for today. Something's not clicking here. Somebody's trying to put a round peg in a square hole. Something isn't working. So what happened back then with Jesus, the same kind of stuff goes on today. It's just different circumstances, different names, different places. That's all. Well, Jesus, if you notice here in this first verse, it says, and they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and the second verse says, when he was come out of the ship. Okay, now, do you think that Jesus went over there because he wanted to go over there? Or do you think that Jesus went into the Gadarenes because he had a word from God? Do you think that God spoke to him and said, son, I want you to cross over and go over there. There's something I need you to do. Well, sure, because the thing is, they got over there. He ministered. After he ministers and gets the devil cast out of this guy, the people tell him to leave. He gets back in the boat and leaves. He didn't hold a crusade. They made him leave. So it's like he gets over there in the morning and goes home at night. That's a lot of work. But he heard instructions from God to go do this because he said, I do what the Father tells me to do. I minister. I do His works. So the Father wanted Jesus to go over here to this place. And we see how that he crossed over the sea. He did it by ship. And then he got back in a ship and left later on. Okay, now, Let's think about this whole thing. How he got over there. He got a word from the Lord. Okay, let's back up. Chapter 4. In verse 35, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And the same day, what same day? The same day as chapter 4. Okay, go back. Chapter 4 is the sower sows the word parable and so forth. Okay. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Okay, now stop. They were with Jesus, were they not? Okay. Now think about this. They were in the presence of Jesus Christ. And he spoke to them. Which means they got a word from the Lord. So, okay. You want a word from the Lord? You need to be in the presence of Jesus. Okay? Very simple, right? You want a word from the Lord? You need to be in His presence. They were in His presence. And He says, guys, let's go to the other side. Now, let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you be excited if you got a word from the Lord? Well, yeah, sure you would. Hey, we all want one. I'm no different than you. I want a word from the Lord. I want to hear God speak. I like it when people call me out and say wonderful things about me. Everybody does. I'm no different than you. So, here they are, they get a word from the Lord. Now you know that their desire was to serve Him. And we can read through the four Gospels and we can see how these guys, they wanted to serve Jesus. And so, when He says, let's go to the other side, they didn't argue. They just said, all right, fine. They got a word from the Lord. And they did what He said. When you get a word from the Lord, if you don't do what He says, why should He give you another one? This is where a lot of Christians make mistakes. I've heard stories of people where someone would share with me, well, a long time ago, X number of days, weeks, months, years, God told me to do such and such, and I never did it. Well, excuse me. Do you not understand that He's waiting for you to do such and such before He tells you the next thing He wants you to do? I don't know why God won't tell me what. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I had a feeling that's what I was supposed to do. So why didn't you do it? Well, I don't know. And you're upset with God because you're not getting direction from Him? He's trying. We're the ones that aren't in the flow of this thing. Well, they get a word from the Lord. He says, let us pass over to the other side. Now let me ask you a question. Knowing that Peter and John, being fishermen, used to being out on boats and all this, don't you think that to them, this sounds like a pretty simple thing? Okay, big deal. We've been raised on boats. my mama, she was a crab trapper. I was born on a boat. I was raised on boats. I got calluses to prove it. Hallelujah. So here they're thinking this thing, and remember back then, if you wanted to get from point A to point B, you didn't have trains, you didn't have planes or whatever. Essentially, you either walked, or if you were able, the shortest route would have been, across the water. So it's not like water travel was something unfamiliar to these folks, especially when that part of the world. So they get a word from the Lord. Let's go to the other side. It's like, okay, that's no big deal. He didn't tell them, guys, go out and raise $1 million. He didn't say, go build me a cathedral. All he said was, let's go to the other side. So, okay, no big deal. We can do that. John and Peter, they had calluses on their hands from all those years of boat work and fishing and everything. And some of the others, they, I'm sure, had been used to hard work, and they also were used to being in boats. This wasn't going to be something new to them. In other words, what the Lord was telling them to do was not something totally unfamiliar. He gave them what seemed to be a very simple instruction. Let's go to the other side. So, verse 36, they sent away the multitude. They said, guys, the crusade's over. Everybody go home. Don't forget to send in your love offerings. Hallelujah. Crusade's over. And it says, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships. Okay, so they're in the boat. They're in the ship. They're headed to the other side. They had a word from the Lord, and they're obeying. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Is that a comforting feeling? I mean, none of us have been in a situation like that. They're in the ship, bad storm, the waves are washing over. It's so bad, the waves are washing over. The boat's filling up. How many of you know that when a boat fills up with water, it has a tendency to sink? So you know then what's going through the minds of some of these people on this ship. And Jesus, bless his heart, was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. It says, they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, does that seem like a logical question to you? No, seriously, does it seem like a logical question? The boat's filling up with water. These guys are panicking. And you've got some expert, you know, boat people here. And they're getting worked up over this thing. And you've got one fella in the back on a pillow sleeping. What a gold brick. I mean, the guy is doing nothing to help. He's sleeping. The storm didn't even wake him up. The rocking of the boat probably put him into a really deep sleep. And who knows what he was dreaming about? And these guys, the boat is filling up with water. They're starting to panic. And they look back and they see Jesus in the back of the boat asleep. So they run back there and they say, Master. First they had to wake him up. Jesus, wake up. Master, look at this. And I'm sure the guy that was heading the thing up was Peter. I've told you before, I have no doubt it was Peter. I mean, you know, it might have been Thomas, but I have no doubt it was Peter. Thomas, you think we're going to make it?
I doubt it.
Well, let's try. They go back. They go back there and they wake him up. And, I see Peter. Master! Wake up! Look at this! Don't you care? We're going to die. We're drowning. We're sinking. The boat's going down. Jesus, wake up! What's the matter with you? You know, and Jesus, he's waking up to this thing. And he looks up. Can you imagine? Here he is. He's laying on the pillow asleep. And Peter's, you know, shaking and waking him up. I know the Bible doesn't say it was Peter, but like I said, I bet it was. And Peter's shaking him and waking him up. Jesus, Master, wake up, wake up. And Jesus opens his eyes. He's got all these panic-stricken faces looking right at him. You know, can you imagine how scary that would be? Jesus! And so he looks up and sees this. And Peter's standing there. He says, Jesus, look at this. I am up to my knobby Jewish kneecaps in water. Don't you care? We're drowning. What's wrong with you, Jesus? Oh, wait a minute. Let's back up. Why are they in the boat in the first place? They got a word from the Lord, did they not? Were they obedient? So then, they are doing exactly what the Lord has told them to do. Why did Jesus tell them to get in the boat? Why did the chicken cross the road to go to the other? Why did Jesus get in the boat, go to the other? Jesus told them to get in the boat because he was passing on instructions. What are instructions? The instructions he got from the Lord. From God, the Father. Father says, Son, I need you to go to the other side. Jesus says, fellas, I got instructions from heaven. You're about to get a word from the Lord. We need to go to the other side. Okay, Jesus, no problem. Let's go. Everybody, crusade's over. Go home. We have to do what the Lord said. Get in the boat and off they go. Everything's fine. The storm arose, which means there was no storm before. So they didn't set sail on the storm. The storm arose. Now, do you think that Jesus believed it was his destiny to go to the other side? Okay, now, If Jesus got this word from God that said, go to the other side, and he was convinced, this is my destiny, to go to the other side, do you think that Jesus was worried about getting to the other side? That's why you can sleep in the midst of a storm. Because when you get a word from the Lord and you're acting on it, and you are fully convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that fulfilling this word is a part of my destiny for my Savior, the storms can arise and you can sleep in the midst of them. So Jesus, he's there asleep. And there's Peter and the rest of them. They're all worked up. Jesus, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? What's wrong with you? What were they expressing? Now listen closely to this. They were expressing doubt that this was the will of God, even though they had clearly and distinctly heard the voice of the Lord speak to them, and they were obeying it because they were encountering a struggle along the way. They began to doubt that this was the will of God. Otherwise, they wouldn't be fussing about, we're about to die. Otherwise, they wouldn't be chasing back there after Jesus. You know what they were actually telling Jesus? You know what they're actually telling him? They were questioning if he could hear God. Because if they had truly believed that Jesus was only doing what the Father told him to do and only speaking what the Father told him to speak, then they would have been convinced this is God's will for us to go from one side to the other. We have got to get the Master over there. Therefore, since God knows everything from the beginning to the end, he knew before he ever told Jesus to go over there, the storm was going to arise. And before Jesus ever told us to get in this boat and take him to the other side, the Father already knew ahead of time this storm was going to arise. So therefore, here we are in the ship with Jesus, headed to the other side, fulfilling the destiny that God has spoken into our lives. Therefore, since this is the will of God, and he already knew ahead of time the storm was going to rise, he must have a plan for me to make it. If this is the word of the Lord for me to go from here to there, and I encounter a storm along the way, but I know that reaching that destination over there is a part of me fulfilling what God has told me to do, that means he has got a plan for me to make it through this storm. And it doesn't matter what the storm is. It doesn't matter what the challenge is. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter what I encounter along the way. If I know that I heard from God and I set my face like a flint to go in the direction that he has told me, if the storms arise in my life to try to stop me from getting to the other side, I don't need to worry about it because God's got to have a plan to get me through the thing because he's the one that wants me over there. Not me. He's the one that wants me over there. So if he's got the plan to get me over there, he's got the plan to get me through the storm that's trying to keep me from going over there. Do you see this? This is the thing. A lot of people, they want to get a word from the Lord, but they don't think about the possibility that in the middle of fulfilling that word, a storm could arise in their life. And so what happens? They begin to question. Well, was that really God? Because if it was really God, I don't think I'd be having these problems. Was that really God? Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Now everything's messed up. My ship's about to sink. I got all kinds of problems. Life is lousy. Nobody loves me. Even God's gone. I can't find him anywhere. What should I do? Just crawl under a rock and die. Eat some worms. Hallelujah. And this is exactly why a lot of Christians get words from the Lord, but they don't even realize they're getting words from the Lord because they don't want words on His terms. They want words on their terms. And it's why a lot of Christians, they'll drop anchor in the middle of the storm because They can't believe God would send them somewhere to where they would encounter these kind of problems along the way. What about Paul? You think that guy ever got water in his ship? I mean, at times, he even lost the ship. Hallelujah. The whole thing broke apart on him. Let me show you something else in this. Jesus. I think this is one of those stories that you could preach it 360 different ways. He says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They're not dead yet, and they're still in the boat. They're not even out there, you know, floating on the water. They are still in the boat. Yeah, there's water in the boat. Yeah, I know what it looks like, but they haven't perished yet. The time to complain about perishing is when you're standing at the pearly gates talking to St. Peter, trying to get in. That's when you can complain about perishing. These guys weren't dead yet. But the circumstances had been interpreted as being dead circumstances, death circumstances, circumstances that are going to kill us. But did you guys get a word from the Lord? Well, yeah, we got a word from the Lord. Aren't you doing what the Lord said? Well, yeah, we're doing what the Lord said. So what's the problem? We're going to die. Well, Paul's got an answer for even that. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And the problem is what? See, they're questioning God. They are even questioning whether or not Jesus heard from the Father. And they go back and they fuss and all. And it says, verse 39, that Jesus arose. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Come on, Jesus. Why are we so fearful? Like I told you, I am up to my knobby Jewish kneecaps in water. Why are we so fearful? Because the boat looks like it's about to... No, because the boat's about to go down. Why are we so fearful? Because of this terrible storm. Wait a minute. You're asking us why we're fearful? We got a question for you, Jesus. Why aren't you? I mean, really? That's what's going on here. Don't you care that we perish? Come on, Jesus. Why aren't you worried about this like us? Why aren't you scared like us? Come on, Jesus. Wake up. Join the club. Shake. Be nervous. Be scared. Blame God for putting us in this mess. Isn't that what's going on here? Heard from the Lord, did you, Jesus? Now look where it got us. In a storm. He says, why are you so fearful? See, any time that you get a word from God and you start acting on that word, there's no room for fear. Because if you start acting on fear, you're going to stop right where you are. He says, why are you so fearful? I am doing what I am. Now remember, Jesus made the statement in another passage, how that my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me to finish His works. Remember that? If the Father has told me to go to the other side, that means there's a work over there that needs to be done, which means, fellas, I have to go over there to do the work that the Father wants finished. He says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Okay, what faith are they supposed to have? What faith? Were they supposed to stand up and say, peace be still and rebuke the wind? What were they supposed to, what faith? Faith in the Word of God? Really, that's what it comes down to. Because if Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me to do, and He says, get in the boat and go to the other side, that means it is God that wants Jesus to represent Him on the other side to complete a work that is the will of God. Why are you so fearful? What is it? Where's your faith, man? Why don't you have faith? Faith in what? Faith that's God. Faith that God has a plan to help you accomplish what He wants done. Remember, it was not Jesus' desire, will, choice, or any of that. I mean, He didn't come up with this idea. He got it from the Father. Father said, do it. He says, okay, now, because it is your will and your desire for this thing to happen, I receive that into my life. It now has become my will and desire. You're the one that thought of this. You're the one that wants this work done. Okay, then I receive it into my life. Now it becomes my task, my will, the work that I need to accomplish for you. My faith is in the fact that God has told me to go do something. So therefore, I believe He's got a way for me to make it through. If that had been Jesus' idea and not God's, now, allow me some liberty here, okay? Just work with me on this one. If that had been Jesus' idea and not the Father's, do you think the storm would have stopped when He spoke to it? If He had been acting in the flesh and not by the leading of God, do you think the storm would have stopped when He spoke to it? Now, I know we could debate that one all night long, could we not? Some say yes, some would say no. But I, you're getting the image here, okay? You're understanding what I'm saying. This is why a lot of Christians, it seems like that faith, nothing's working in their life. It's because they're doing things in the flesh. They're really not getting direction from God. But when you get a word from God, you had better believe that no matter what kind of storms blow up in your life, included in God's plan for you is a way for you to get through those storms. But now look at this. This next part's really amazing to me. He says, you know, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. Stop. Wait. The storm had stopped, right? Why are they afraid? Why are they afraid now? The storm had stopped. Now what are they afraid of? They feared exceedingly and said what to one to another? What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Ooh. He talks to the wind and the waves and they obey him. What kind of guy is this? Okay, now, contained in that verse is a powerful message. When they went back to wake Jesus up, it wasn't to try to get him to stop the storm. When they went back to wake him up, it was to try to get him to come and bail water. They weren't trying to get him to move by the power of God. They thought he was lazy and doing nothing. And they couldn't figure out why this gold brick is asleep and the boat's going under. What's the matter, Jesus? Get a bucket and come up here and help us bail water. Jesus says, I got a better plan. Peace! Be still! And the storm stops. They start shaking in their boots. Oh, what manner of man is this? Why even the wind and the waves obey him? You'd think they'd be happy. You'd think they'd be rejoicing. The storm stopped. Oh, hallelujah! How'd you do that, Jesus? Praise God! It's a part of the Father's plan for me to get to the other side. The anointing to stop the storm has been given to me so that I can accomplish the works and the will of the Father. That's why he could sleep, because he knew. Storm rises. I've got the anointing. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. I am anointed by the Father with the Holy Ghost and power. If a storm rises, I'll just tell it to stop. It'll stop. There's no problem in this. It will stop. Because I've got a work to do for God. He's in heaven. I'm down here. He needs this work done. I'm His representative. If this doesn't get done, if I don't do it, it won't get done. Same thing is true for every single one of us. We want Jesus. We cry out to Jesus when we encounter storms. What's wrong, Jesus? Why won't you move? Anybody been there? What's wrong, Jesus? Oh, Pastor, pray for me. I just feel like God's forgotten me. God just left me. I just ain't nothing going right. You're wanting Jesus to get a bucket and bail. If you are walking in the plan of God for your life, then God has released in your direction the grace, the mercy, everything that you need to accomplish that work. Instead of crying out and asking Jesus to get a bucket and help you bail, why don't you stand up and speak to the storm? Why don't you exercise your God? You wanted a word from the Lord, you got it. You're acting on it. So now that the storm is here, why don't you stand up and exercise your faith? Because you're supposed to accomplish this task for Jesus. I mean, when I saw that in there, it's like these guys, they didn't go wake him up to try to get him to speak to the storm. They wanted him to bail water. But what does he do? See, Jesus could have helped him bail water, could he not? But let me ask you a question. The whole time that they're up there bailing water, was more water coming in the boat? What, you think they waited until the boat was about to sink before they started to bail? I guarantee you, the moment the waves started coming over that boat, these guys started bailing. But their water was coming in faster than they could get rid of it. And so what? One more bailer is going to make the difference? So Jesus, I mean, they could have... You know, bailed, and water keep coming over. You know, and finally the boat starts to go down. Jesus could have looked at Peter and said, well, are you happy now? Jesus says, you guys, this is nuts. The bailing isn't working. Do you understand that? You need something more powerful than a bucket. You need the anointing of God. Peace, be still. Now, there's no more water. Wow, Jesus. Ooh, that's cool. And as Jesus is walking back to his pillow, they say, but Jesus, what do we do now? Bail. See, what if they had gone back before the boat was full of water? Said, Jesus, we've got a situation here. You know, you told us to get in this boat. Man, we've been doing everything that you said. And, you know, you've explained to us how that you're doing what God tells you to do. So therefore, getting to the other side, there must be something over there that God wants you to do. So we're trying to help you do this. Now, you spoke to us out of what God spoke to you. And we're all, you know, working to accomplish this thing. But Jesus, we've got this pretty bad storm. And the waves are getting bigger. And pretty soon they're going to start coming into the boat. And it doesn't look like there's any end in sight for this storm. I mean, this looks like a pretty bad deal, Jesus. What do we do? What do we do now, Jesus? Because we are not strong enough by ourselves to overcome this storm. And I'm sure Jesus would have said, oh, okay, well, peace, be still. You think his anointing would only have worked after the boat was full of water? He could have said that before the first wave crashed over the bow. They could have said, Jesus, like I just shared with you, he could have, well, okay, peace, be still. Storm stops. They keep rowing. Jesus keeps sleeping. And they get to the other side. See, all too often, people wait to try and act in faith until their boat is full of water. This is why it's so important to spend time in the presence of God so that you can be sensitive. Okay, an example. Remember over 2 years ago the prophecies that came about the storms that were coming, the spiritual storms, the attacks? Okay. Some people prepared, some people didn't. Now, when God has given you a word, you need to prepare yourself that as you are going from point A to point B, there's a really good chance a storm is going to blow up. And I don't know what kind of a storm it could, health storm, family storm, money storm, I don't know, all kinds of different storms. A storm could blow up. But if you are in the midst of accomplishing what God has told you to do, then you have better believe that God has given to you the measure of faith that is necessary to accomplish that task. That means that you're going to be able to speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. And that obviously is relative to the storm, to the conditions. But I know this. God's not going to tell you to do something and then sit back and not give you what it's going to take to make it to the other side. The problem is, the thing that he gives you, the thing that it's going to take to get to the other side, it's not the material stuff. It's the spiritual stuff. He makes all the spiritual stuff. Remember, it talks about he's blessed us with all heavenly blessings and the spiritual blessings that we have and everything we need. What he gives to us is the spiritual stuff. Call it anointing. He makes that available to us so that we can use it to bring about answers to the problems we're facing. God anointed Jesus. The problem was natural. It was a storm. What do you do to a storm? Well, you can't shoot it with a gun. I mean, you can't, throw a rock at it. What do you do to a storm? There's only one thing to do. Speak to it. That's the only thing you can do to a storm. Now, if it's blind eyes, you can spit and make some mud. If it's deaf ears, you can spit and stick your fingers in their ears. If it's a person that can't speak, you can spit and touch their tongue. You see what I'm saying? So the way that the anointing manifests through you to produce the answer is going to be relative to the storm you're facing. And in this case, the only thing you can do is speak to it. So the anointing operated through his words as he spoke, and it caused the storm to stop. And it just, like I said, when I read that whole thing in there and I got to the end, it's like these guys, they didn't try to get Jesus, because if they were trying to get Jesus just to wake up and speak to that storm, they would not have said, "Who is this that can speak to the storm and it stops?" They would have said something like, "See there? We knew that's exactly what he was going to do." And the disciples rejoiced as Jesus spoke to the storm and stopped it. Instead, they didn't expect that Jesus could do that. And a lot of Christians don't expect that they can do what God's called them to do. You get a word from the Lord, and you begin to do what you're supposed to do. Somewhere along the line, a storm's probably going to blow up, but I'll guarantee you this. Contained in the plan of that word is a way to get through that storm. Some way, somehow, there is a way to get through that storm. These messages for me too. In ministry, I mean, pastoring a church, all these things that are going on, yeah, there are storms that come up. Trust me, there are storms. You know what the storms are, usually? People, hallelujah. Take that with a grain of salt, okay? There are going to be storms. But I have to keep in mind this example right here. God's given me a plan. He's given me direction. He's told me what to do. That means He wants this done. It wasn't my idea. He wants this done. Therefore, He's got a plan for the storm. And I am foolish if I sit around and wait for the boat to fill with water before I start doing something with the anointing that He has given to me to bring about a resolution to the problem. Want to hear a little secret? And I'm not going to elaborate. I'm just going to say this. Some of you are walking in solutions. Some of you here tonight are walking in solutions. I'm just going to leave it at that. No, I won't. Listen, I hope you receive this correctly. I really hope you receive it in the right way. But some of you are walking in solutions because I have spoken to your storms. Your boat was about to go down. I got up from the pillow and I spoke to your storms. And there are people, this isn't about me. Okay, as a pastor, that's part of my responsibility. Okay? And there are people who are part of this church that are walking in solutions because I spoke to your storm. It doesn't make me better than anybody else. Hey, these guys in the boat, they could have done something a little differently than what they did. You know what? I've got a feeling that I have walked in solutions in my life because somebody spoke to my storm. Sometimes people get so caught up in the circumstances that they cry out, "We perish," when the boat is still afloat. Sometimes we have to speak to the storms in other people's lives because they have allowed those storms to produce so much confusion in their life. They don't know what to do, and the answers they're expecting are not the things that God will do. They wanted Jesus to bail. Jesus stopped the storm. That's not what they expected. But thank God He spoke to the storm, and they got their answer. And I rejoice for the people that have spoken to the storms of my life. And I thank God for helping me to understand how to speak to the storms in other people's lives. And you know what? God can use every single one of you to speak to the storms in the lives of other people, to help them out. That's part of what we're supposed to do, is it not? So I'm going to leave you with this tonight in closing. I said it before, I'm just going to repeat it again. When you get a word from the Lord, be prepared. You may encounter a storm, but don't forget that contained in that word you received from God is a plan to make it through the storm.